This is a Collider.com audio interview.
A little bit about how the script evolved from specifically for your character from when you first read it.
No, I just want to get this out of the way because I don't trust my mobile skills right now. Or your technology in front of me. from the time that Ridley sent it to me, it was probably within a 2-week period. We had discussed it on the phone and he introduced me to Damon, and we kind of just had like a back and forth for a couple of days, and then Damon went for I think just 2 weeks and did some writing and came back with a really, really good foundation, and then it just continued, you know, as all movies do. I mean, I this wasn't an unusual experience for me. I think you then sit down and have more discussions about it, and more things come out of it, and little tweaks here and there, and things come in and go out, and that's kind of like ongoing for me in every movie. So that's kind of how this came about.
Is it nice to be able to finally talk about the film a little bit?
Like that much more? It's like everybody's like, I saw that lady. I just came out of a press conference and I saw some lady just go like this when I said something. Like she was like. Like a Rottweiler, her ears went out. What did she just say? So yeah, I don't know how much we are actually allowed to talk about it. But the truth be told, it's nice to not say everything about a movie. You know, I wish all movies were somewhat like that. There's something nice about a film just speaking for itself, and you can't do it with every movie. This movie kind of is a pedigree that people know what to expect, so you can get away with it. But it's my favorite way to go and sit in a theater and have the lights go off and you know, just not know what the fuck you're going to see. I feel like everything is given away these days. So for me, it wasn't hard at all not to talk about it. Because I could just be really cheeky and blame it on the studio.
One of the things I like about the movie is it's really hard to tell, even though I've been on a lot of sets, it's hard to tell where sets and where, you know, green screen environments,
where they meet, yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Was there a lot of the ship actually built on a set?
The entire ship was built.
Oh, it was, really? Okay.
Yeah. The entire ship was built, and that, I mean, like, every button, every wall, every hallway, every crevice of that ship was built. I think Arthur did an amazing job. The only green screen that I saw was through the windows.
Oh, okay.
That was it. And then even on what the monitors were showing, like the scene where I'm watching... where I'm watching Waylon out in space, all of that was he had like pre-CGI'd all of that for us on video so that it was projected for us to watch. So so little green screen for me anyway, and from the inside of the ship, very, very little.
Well, can you talk a little bit about the first day you stepped on the sets? Because I'm sure you were told it's going to be sets, you're not going to have to worry about green screen, but there's something to be said about walking into that environment and seeing these.
It's amazing. I mean, I don't think we had a clear understanding of how much of it was going to be tangible, but that was ridiculous. I mean, the day the projector started showing the scene, I was like, Ridley, now you've really crossed the line. You know, I can act too a little bit here. I mean, you don't have to. But he's that kind of director. I think he comes from the school of understanding that the marriage between that real set and CGI is what makes it good, because to have the actual set is helpful for your actors. And so it helps, it raises the stakes for the performances, which makes the movie better. And I know that what we did as actors in this film would not have been what it is if we were just acting with green screens around us and stuff like that. But it was amazing. I mean, I walked on and had a bit of a, you know, I had to like, chill my ego down, because I was like, my ship.
Did that actually kind of feed the character a little bit?
My ego? Yes.
You said you like exploring these characters where people are not born bad, and
yeah,
sort of discovering what's driving them. So what do you think is driving Meredith?
It's a tough thing to talk about Meredith without giving the movie away, you know, but I think there is a great quote that I heard, and I feel horrible that I don't know who said this, but there's a great quote that says, the only difference between all of us are the ones who were loved and the ones who were not. And I feel like Meredith falls in that category really well.
There's a lot of stuff to chew on in the movie thematically. I mean, we're talking about existential questions about existence, death. There's some body horror. component of the film do you, you know, personally, are you personally most frightened by?
Frightened by? Mm-hmm. Ooh, it's the unknown. Every time, and when I watched the film for the first time, I had a bruised elbow because I knocked my elbow in the steel part of the chair next to me like 3 times. And all of those moments were in, once they were out there in the unknown. I think there's something incredibly scary about that. And I mean, with that fucking tagline is still on my head. When you're in space, no one can hear you scream. That screwed me up for life. Like, I'm sometimes like, you know, like by myself, and I'm like, so when you're in space, no one can hear you scream. I mean, that just screwed me up. So I think that stuff for me, you know, coincides with wanting to believe that you're going to get an answer to something, and then discovering, obviously not, and that discovery. There's just fucking horror, you know. That's scary.
Did you obviously be once you got the gig? Were you one of these people that wants to rewatch all the other, you know, Aliens, all the other films to sort of, you know, had you seen all of them? Did you rewatch them?
No, I didn't. No, because it didn't feel necessary. And I think there's a part of me that's always a little bit like, why would I torture myself with some? Just in case you forgot how big the shoes are you're walking in, take a look again. You know what I mean? Like, I think I pussy out. So I'm not that kind of person. There was nothing that was relevant for me to have to do that, because my characters, we weren't making a prequel or a sequel or anything like that. It was just a similar world, and that was really it. So I didn't feel like it was part of my homework, and I also didn't want anything to kind of throw me or maybe in my subconscious influence me in what I ended up doing, you know, in the film.
Well, regarding the world and your homework, how much were Damon and Ridley there to sort of give you background that didn't make it into the movie, but that sort of opened different doors within this future?
A lot. There was a lot of stuff that didn't end up in the movie, but I think it's, you know, I think you can't be attached to those things as an actor. I want to be in a good movie, and so the narrative is way more important. But I think that stuff helped create maybe a thickness to her that wouldn't have been there. So I think in the long run, all of that stuff was really important. They were great. I mean, Damon was always around. Ridley was just always asking questions. I was just one of those environments where we were always talking about it, always. And, you know, there were even moments where Michael Fassbender and I would, you know, kind of enhance on our scenes and talk about it. And Ridley was incredibly just open to all of that stuff. You know, just really, it was just a very collaborative set. And it really didn't felt, my fear was that we were trying to answer things that you can't answer. And that's when it becomes problematic. And it wasn't that kind of set. We really just enjoyed asking all the big questions and not necessarily finding the answers.
Did you have much fun on the set? It's quite an intense film. Did you sort of laugh, joke around, play?
Yeah, I mean, I like to work that way. I don't know how to not work that way. So, I mean, I always have a good time because, God, I mean, we're just a bunch of kids who never got to grow up, and now we're, you know, playing on a spaceship. How can you not enjoy that, you know? So, yeah, I had a great time making this film.
And did you sort of take the lead? Because I know you're sort of quite renowned for your comedy. Did you sort of?
I think Fassbender took the lead on this one. He's like, he took it to a whole new level because he always had his computer around, which I don't travel with props. I just travel with my talent. But he always had, he always had a computer around, and fuck me, that bastard can pull some nasty shit up. So. There was a lot of that, like, in the corner. You know, we'd be waiting for people or whatever, and Fasty would always be in this computer, like, check this out. I'm like, oh, my God, I have to do a scene right now, you asshole.
I feel like we need a detail of at least one.
No. Oh, God, no. No, I'm not going to fall for that. I'm not that jet lagged. No, he was a blast. I have just, like, we had these little dorm rooms in Pinewood, and mine and his were right next to each other, so that was a little, like, high school. But it was such an ensemble cast, so it was nice. It was nice. Everybody had a good time, you know? And when you have to do the work, you do the work. I think actors who know their job know that's how you do it. You don't show up and make people miserable. And you know, that poor Grip is standing there. He just wants to feed his family. He doesn't need to hear about your psychosis on life and love and death.
After seeing the movie, a couple people were theorizing that your character might be an android. Even though that's not said in the film at all, yeah. And probably is not even true. I wanted to know what you thought of that.
We played around with a lot of stuff. I'll just say that. Non-specific things. I don't think we ever went like that. But we played around with a lot of stuff, and we threw a lot of stuff out there very loosely, and maybe they influenced some of it a little bit. But there was definitely something that happened once David and I kind of stood next to each other, where I started feeling like his posture was overtaking my posture. And then it's a good age-old question, like the chicken before the egg. Like, is it him or is it me? Or is it part of my DNA in him? Or... we did talk about that a lot, that it was nice to have something ambiguous about the origins of both of us, maybe. Like, why do we look so much alike? And why am I walking so much like him? Is it that I'm an android, or is it that I gave him human qualities, that I give him my DNA? Or we played with a lot of that shit, which is what it was fun, you know?
Did it really talk to you all about the dialogue? Because it seemed the dialogue was very delivered in a very specific way. It wasn't I mean, it kind of was more like the Alien, reminded me of the Alien, where it was a little bit like very in a Kubrick kind of way. And I was curious if he kind of gave you any direction on how he wanted your character to deliver dialogue at a certain pace, or was it kind of very obvious from
that? We just talked a lot because, you know, when you play a character that is somewhat, you know, into... There's a power struggle here for her. She's very much in constant need to want to be in control of everything. That's all she's doing from the moment that the movie kind of takes off. She's up first. She's making sure, you know, there's always something about her trying to control the situation. And so Ridley and I talked a lot about people who come from, you know, especially women who come from these kind of dynasties. That are kind of set up by men, their fathers usually. And there might be other sons in the family, but for some reason, the girl just kind of like has the DNA of the dad. And so we wanted to have something of her kind of come across that was reflective of those people that I've seen and know. And when I watched those women, there was something very interesting about her almost being condescending and passive aggressive in the way she talks. You know, and it's tricky because you don't want the audience to kind of go, ugh, you know, but it was that I liked that because it made it a little bit more interesting to me than someone who was just completely confident in their control the entire time or not. So I didn't want to play it in the extremities. I wanted it to just be kind of that she was condescending most of the time and she was very passive aggressive. And I think all of that comes from a horrible place of insecurity and vulnerability.
What are your thoughts on, you know, being in the spaceship, being in space on extraterrestrial life? What do you think?
I've always thought it was very plausible. And I haven't really like experienced anything in my life that changed that thought. I think that it's very, very, very possible. I mean, I know factually we know that there's living cells out there. So we know that if you read science, we can go by that. So are there actual full creatures? I wouldn't say no.
What would you want to ask one if you met one?
Oh my God. This is such a deep question.
I know.
I'm so jet lagged.
I know.
So many types are wrong right now.
I know.
What would I ask them? I don't know what I would ask them. Fuck. I should have known that was going to be one of the questions. Ugh, I didn't rehearse.
We asked you on our Friday.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't rehearse this one, Kate. We didn't rehearse this one.
What would you ask the fucking alien?
Oh my God. I don't know what I would ask them. I don't know.
What scene did you most enjoy shooting?
Thank you for saying that.
Felt like you did it.
It's hot in this room.
I know, it's hot here. Right.
What scene did I like shooting?
Yeah, most enjoy.
I can't really talk about the scene.
I wondered if maybe it was a woman.
I'm itchy all of a sudden.
You got to use a flamethrower, so I wondered if it was that.
Yeah, right. Like, you guys, I have to trust you guys. No, I mean, look, I'll say in general, I liked all the stuff that really kind of dived into her real agenda. I'll say that. I liked all of that stuff because that was, you know, that's when you find the truth of the character that you've been kind of, you know, it's the human condition is all about us pretending to be something sometimes that we're not. So when you get into the core of people kind of like stripping all of that away, that's, for me as an actor, always the most fun stuff to do.
I was going to say that I'm really looking forward to a certain Mad Max movie that is coming up. And what can you tell, this is completely switching gears, what can you tell people about that project and when you begin filming?
I leave in like 2.5 weeks, and we start shooting, I think, around mid-July, Namibia. And I'm fucking dying, too. It's been 3 years. It's time to skin this cat already. So, yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Just a follow-up on that. Has that project, because obviously it's been start, stop. Is the script that you were given all that time ago exactly what you're still doing?
Exactly the same script. I know. We really, it was more logistics. It was the fact that he had to finish Happy Feet, and then there was those terrible floods in Australia, and the desert just never recovered from it. That sounds horrible. It did recover in a beautiful way, not in a way that we needed it to be. So that was a huge problem for us.
And what is it about that project that you're looking forward to taking on?
You know, I think that just like this, it's an interesting world. You know, I feel that I have a real interest in this world, and I think people will have an interest in this world because Alien kind of set that up for us. And I feel like the original Mad Max created such a vivid world that to go back and reimagine it and kind of replay in that sandbox sounds like fun to me. And George really created a female character that I've just never read anything like this. I mean, I'm scared shitless, but yeah.
Well, what's going to be asked of you if it's something you've never?
No, it's just really it's a really challenging piece of material. It's really I think, you know, for me originally when they were like, oh, Mad Max, I was like, oh, I'm not going to play the fucking girl and for Mad Max. Like, you know? And then I read it and I was like, oh, Mad Max, I feel sorry for you. You know, that rarely happens. That's so rarely. It's just really, it's two great characters. It's not the original Mad Max. It's a revamped Mad Max. It's Tom Hardy, who is incredible. So the whole thing just is very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Are you excited in general to be back making huge movies and
I just want to make good movies. You know, I honestly, the only difference for me with this stuff is that there's more people on the set. And, you know, the narrative for me is always the most important thing. I feel like 15 years ago you could compartmentalize these things. You could be like, well, that's your little indie movie and this is your big film. And I feel like now, you know, like movies like District 9, and we've learned, I think studios have learned that you can merge the two. A good narrative and a big blockbuster is a good fucking movie. So why separate the two? So those are the kind of movies that I'm looking for. I don't want to separate like my good work from like my big studio movies anymore. I just want to be a part of some, you know, some good storytelling.
Do you feel as if you sort of got more of a new lease of life, sort of tackling harder subjects and trickier films now?
I mean, I've had a really great last year. Mm. The everything from young adult to this, I feel very creatively satisfied and going on to Mad Max, and so I feel really, really lucky, yeah.
you produced like a small indie movie like which was Sundance a couple of years ago. Have you been involved in production still? You still look at projects where you're involved as producer?
We produced Young Adult.
Okay, never mind.
And then we have 8 projects now that are being greenlit for the next year. I'll go right into one in January. But yeah, we have about 8 movies. We've got 2 shows at HBO, one with Ridley, one with David Fincher. We have a Chris Buckley movie there that I'd like to do. We have a deal at ABC. We have some shows there.
Are you generally going to be involved as an actor as well, or just some of them not so much? Like,
The projects? Yeah, some of them, yeah. Some of them I'm involved in. Some of them I'm not, no.
What is the appeal of TV? You mentioned that a lot of those are set up in networks and whatnot. What's the creative avenue there that's making
it different? I think some of the most creative work is coming out of television. It's also, it's very immediate, and I like that. It's really fast. It's got a pace to it. And that's why I think everybody in my field wants to just do good material. We want to push the envelope, and wherever, whatever field you can do that, that's where you want to do it. And I think that's why people like David Fincher and Ridley Scott are interested in it too, because it's, you know, when you sit down and have a meeting at HBO and they're like, more, you're just like, yeah. Oh yeah, love this. And you know, sometimes it's a little harder in film. It's a great audience. Take advantage of it. It's a great audience.
I would agree. I think most of us agree that TV right now is in the best possibly it's ever been. What are some of the shows that you just can't get enough of?
I like a lot of different shit. I watch a lot of stuff that people are somewhat shocked by. But I am absolutely, like, foaming at the mouth with Game of Thrones. Like, I cannot not get enough of that. When my son came into my life, that was our bottle feeds, like, because I couldn't watch television, I slept so little, and that was my TiVo feed every 2 hours, was watching Game of Thrones, and my mom was like, do you think it's fine that you're feeding your son while there's, like, sword fights? And I was like, it's fine, Mom, it's fine. So I'm somewhat obsessed with that right now. I like Veep. I like. I'm really excited for Aaron Sorkin's new show.
I have to ask a follow up. If they reached out to you for season 3 or 4 of Game of Thrones, is that the type of show you'd be like, I'm going?
I'd be totally open to it. I'm open to anything, dude. I'm open to anything. That's what I would ask the alien. Do you watch Game of Thrones? Not are you open to anything? God, you bunch of freaks. Be like, hey, alien, what do you think of Game of Thrones? Snow? Lord Snow? Really?
When did you last take a day off?
It is so hot in this room, you guys. Seriously.
I'm dying.
Oh my God, we're going to be naked in about 4 seconds. This is like Bikram's interview. All right, sorry. What is the question?
I said, when did you last take a day off? Or when are you planning to take
one? Oh my God.
It feels like you're non-stop.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy. Do you hear that, Kate? I need a day off. Tell that bitch over there. She keeps working me to the bone. I am going home, and I think in a week or so, hopefully, I'll be done with all the press stuff, and then I can kind of, you know, get into my cave and start preparing for Mad Max.
Are you going to go back to South Africa when you're filming? Because you said Namibia.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm there until the end of the year, so I'll definitely make a trip down there, yeah.
I wanted to do one other Mad Max. Is that one of those films where it's going to be the PG-13, or are you guys pushing for, like, a hard R? Do you know?
I can't say. I mean, that's ultimately it's going to be up to George Miller, but it feels like it's.
I would imagine there's some violence.
Yeah, yeah, there's some badass violence in it. Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, if we do what the script is, I don't know how you could do. But then I feel like PG-13 is pushing a little bit too, which is good. It feels like, you know, I don't know. I remember being, like, young watching Alien and fucking loving it. Like,
are you going to do physical prep? Because you said that the physical on this one took you by surprise a bit.
On this?
On Prometheus.
Well, I just, you know, the gear was tricky, and I have like an old injury on my neck, so that space thing just wasn't great for me. But yeah, I mean, when I read it, it was like this much of a description. And you know, with Ridley, that turns into like a 3-week shoot. I was like, dude, it said I was running for this much. Why are we still running? Why am I still running?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, you guys.